Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this. What are we doing?
I think this is the podcast.
This podcast.
Okay. Allergies are heavy upon you.
I am Liz. This is Bob. And that's David.
Hi.
Yeah. It's so good to be together with you guys again.
I know you're back, aren't you? Yeah. You know, I'm glad your chances of getting who you were wrong were pretty high just then.
Yeah.
What?
Never mind. Yeah.
Oh.
I know what you're saying. I got you.
My own name?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to remember who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In California, I'm Liz.
Yes.
In my parents' home, I'm Elizabeth. In the South, I'm Liz. Uh-huh. And in Greece, I'm Liz.
Wow.
Reese,
in the South, Liz has three syllables.
Liz. Yeah.
Liaza.
Yeah. So today I'm Liz.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Great.
All right. Well, we are going to talk about an interesting subject today, the subject of comfort.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just going to sit back and relax on this one.
And enjoy the ride.
And then complain about how no one can hear you on the podcast. My voice is so quiet.
Speak in the mic.
Maybe that's better. Wait, maybe that's better.
All right. So comfort. This is kind of coming out of another conversation we were having.
Yeah.
Just talking about, you want to explain how we got here?
Yeah. I asked you what the American church could learn from other parts of the world or some things that we struggle with. And you had mentioned that you thought comfort was a big issue in America.
Yeah. I think for me, just because of our new life experiences, my husband and I living in Greece and being so uncomfortable, and I just mean like everything's unfamiliar. You don't have your routine. You don't have the places you like to go. You don't have the friends you usually hang out with. You don't have the foods you usually eat. You don't have anything that you normally comfort yourself with. Mm-hmm. And so I began to understand like how much we crave comfort. We crave being comfortable. And even if it's just the comfort of a daily routine or the comfort of familiar relationships or familiar furniture that you like to sit in, you know, it's like there's just so many things about comfort that I've just been realizing, like, I really crave, mm-hmm. I guess. And not having those things is like you have to deal with that, you know, being in an unfamiliar place. So I just was, it's just started a whole train of thought for me about comfort. Worldly comfort, godly comfort, and how those two things maybe are different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're just talking about worldly versus godly comfort. Mm-hmm. And obviously God is a comforter. So that's one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, Paraclete, which can be rendered as the comforter, also be rendered as the advocate or the counselor. Mm-hmm. But I think we need comfort. I was asking myself, if every comfort was stripped away, you know, could you even live? Could you keep going? Probably. There's probably some absolute extreme situations that you could, but I think we're going to always, you know, scrape and claw to find comfort. Mm. And like, where are you going to go to find it? Which maybe is your question.
Exactly.
I don't know what's like a, you know, I'm just brainstorming here because, you know, the worldly comforts would be all the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. You could comfort yourself with a substance, with food. You know, you could comfort yourself with a relationship, with achievements, you know, with a feeling of pride or attainment. You could comfort yourself with social media likes, you know, anything that's going to, it kind of, you know, rubs a little balm on the rawness of your life experience. But all that, I think, is such a temporary comfort. And it's going to actually increase your appetite for more of the same. Mm-hmm. And it's like any addiction. You know, I think addiction might get thrown around a little too much. But when you have an appetite for anything and you continually feed it, it's just going to grow and grow and grow till it becomes your whole personality. Mm. And that's been, I mean, I could see it in myself. Like I'm very comfort oriented. That's probably like one of the biggest things I have to fight against.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you have anything you want to jump on this with.
Well, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this subject, actually. But, you know, when I think about that, I think that the issue is that people tend to try to comfort themselves mm-hmm. or find comfort. Whereas comfort in the Bible is normally coming from either God or somebody else.
Right.
It's actually something coming to you rather than something you going after and bringing into your own life.
Right.
And that's the difference. And I think that's the difference between an addiction, you know, and God, and well, for someone, you know, who needs some kind of medicine or something in their life, someone's prescribed the medicine and they're taking it for the prescription and hopefully it's handling whatever they've got. Now, if you're just addicted to drugs, then you've decided you've become your own comforter. And unfortunately, then there's nobody there to regulate mm-hmm. what level of comfort there is, because like you said, you become addicted to comfort and you can't, all of a sudden you can't be satisfied. Yeah. All of a sudden you have to have more comfort. And pretty soon any little thing becomes uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's an issue because from what I understand from the word, there's going to be some uncomfortable times that we as Absolutely. God's people come into. Everything isn't just all happy, happy, fun. There are great times in God and wonderful times in God, but there's also times where there are trials, where there are, you know, persecutions. There's things that come in life, and if you're addicted to just comfort, it's a real problem, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it comes in a lot of ways, and then you start blaming other people for not comforting you enough, or blaming circumstances, or blaming God.
Right.
So,
well, that's interesting that you say there's a godly comfort that is given to you by others, mm-hmm. but then there's an ungodly way where you manipulate people into comforting
mm-hmm.
you.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's just what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think for me, it was even things like having the comfort of a place that felt like home, you know, cause we have a nice place we're staying, but it's not necessarily our home. You know, and so then we come here and it's not quite home, you know? And so, I just think about like Jesus, where it says like, he didn't, even the Son of Man, like he didn't have a place to lay his head. Like Jesus walked through this life. Like I said, I've just been thinking about these things, like the way he lived, he really lived without a lot of comforts. You know, he wasn't married. He didn't have a family. He didn't have a settled home. He was misunderstood a lot. Like there's a comfort in being known that you don't really appreciate until you go somewhere where people don't really know you. Mm-hmm. They don't know like your proven character. They don't know who the intricacies of who you are. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's a lot of comfort that comes with that. And when you come to a place in your life where you're without all of those things, thankfully, I mean, it really makes you turn to the comforter. It's interesting just because I found myself like very like, okay, Lord, like you're my home, you're my friends, you're my family, like you're everything mm-hmm. to me right now because I don't have any of these things. And then as soon as like a little piece of comfort, like, okay, now I know how to get around. I'm more familiar here. I have kind of a schedule for my week now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the comfort factor started coming in and the dependency started going
exactly.
Lessening,
and actually, you know? What I was, you know, what triggered me when you said that was that when you are totally involved in comfort, or you know, comfort's coming to you in those areas, what goes away is faith.
Right.
Because you don't actually need faith if everything's just fine.
Exactly.
Right. And so, what's interesting to me is that I believe the whole thing behind discipleship of any kind or becoming a disciple is actually linked to being uncomfortable. It's actually linked to being placed into places spiritually, sometimes mentally, sometimes physically, yeah. because comfort happens on all those levels where all of a sudden you're not, you know, you're uncomfortable and you have to rely on him.
Right.
You can't just get by on everything you do and you know and you know, and just kind of skate by. I actually believe the prescription for discipleship actually requires being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Or else no faith.
I agree.
Everything's just fine and laid out for you.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree completely. So. Yeah.
I mean, obviously this all links back to the idolatry subject, you know, cause you're relying on these comforts instead of the comforter, right? Instead of God. And a lot of times our life lies on the other side of our discomfort. So a lot of times you can be trapped in comfort, like you're saying, if you're not a disciple would step through discomfort into what the Lord has asked him to do.
Right.
And so for me, I see that in parenting where like at night, the end of the day, my kids are screaming, destroying the living room. And I just want to look at my phone. I just want to soothe myself and I can escape from them a little bit. Or I can put the phone away and get on the ground, right? And so it's like, that's where I enjoy my life more. But I really don't want to do that. You know, like I just really don't want to make that step. And some days I don't, right? But hopefully most days I will. And I'll go join with that and I'll live my life. You know, I'll actually be able to receive comfort from other human beings and from God and, you know, from doing what I was meant to do. Or if I choose what's going to soothe me, just like, if I'm sucking my own thumb psychically, right? So I'm just like on social media. That's really what it is. It's like an ancient thing that it's like, oh, I'm stressed. I've got to have a comfort. I got to know what's happening. I got to know how to dull the pain. I got to know how to control it. I got to know how to escape from this thing. Where's my audiobook? Where's my podcast? Where's my escape hatch?
Right.
That's going to keep me from living my real life, you know? And so it's almost a matrix choice. It's like, you know what, am I going to engage in life, which is this world's under the curse. Life isn't a comfortable place, even in Western civilization, but in Western civilization and America, you really don't have to go without comfort for even 1 second.
No. You know,
is that something you kind of mentioned that in our last conversation?
No, I think that especially the American culture, I just am like realizing is so geared toward comfort and convenience. I mean, like in every, like anything, like people make millions of dollars off making little things that just make your life a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like every, like, and you go to a country where that's not like, like they're just trying to get by, like having enough to pay their rent and food and pay their taxes. And then you don't have all like the creature comforts, you know? So I'm just realizing like, wow, like America is so geared mm-hmm. toward comfort and convenience and is consumed with that. And it really does. It's like, it just, to me, it like, it just dulls you. It just dulls mm-hmm. your existence because there's no place in your life where you have to deal with discomfort. You can have whatever you want, whenever you want it. You could have your strawberries any time of the year. You don't have to wait for anything. Like everything's pre-blend. Ready. You want lunch, you get it right now. You eat it like it's ready for you. You don't have to wait. Like everything is just ready and available. And you do not have to be uncomfortable at any point in your life. If someone says something that makes you uncomfortable, like you called, like they're in the wrong. You know what I mean? Like everything about America is, let's be as comfortable as possible all the time.
Yeah. Well, I believe that what happens is you passivate yourself through that.
Right.
It's all just, you're just sitting there. Like you said, you're, you know, sucking your thumb just and just getting, you know, just being passivated. And actually, I think what happens then is it dulls you. So you're, because you become the passive part of the passivated. You're so. Did I just make a new word up?
Yeah, it's a good one. No, multiple.
Yes, I knew you'd like that. Write that down. Yeah. Just, it's good. Right. But really, I believe what happens when you're comforted all the time, you do become passive. There's no reason to push past because that's really what. The difference is if you're aggressive at all, and I don't mean in a bad way, where you're not, if you're not willing to step out or never have to have the need to step out into an area that's out there a little, you just become just an oak, you know, you're just passive about everything. You don't want to do anything that pushes you or presses you or, you know, and, you know, life is a box of chocolates and you just kind of, you know, get by with everything. Everything's beautiful that way.
Right, right.
And you're dull.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the gospel is so, I mean, it's like, pick up your cross.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like, crucify comfort in your life. Like, that's actually the call of the gospel.
Jeez, and I never thought about it.
I just think it's like the contrast of like where a life where everything is about comfort, and then meanwhile, the Lord is like, what about my kingdom? Like, what about your eternal life? Like, don't get don't be lulled to sleep by this stuff. I'm calling you to live a different way. Mm-hmm. And then like in our minds, it's so unreasonable. Like, oh, the pastor's asking me to come to church in the middle of the week, you know, or like I'm supposed to give my time to this. And it's like, well, that's not convenient. It's certainly not comfortable, you know? And it's like, it just becomes so unreasonable. When meanwhile, like that's like, come give a couple hours a week, you know? And right. Jesus is like, give me your life.
Yeah.
I'm calling you to
sell
a
your
life
possessions.
Yes, of discomfort. Like that's actually what he's calling you to, is like to lose everything that makes you comfortable and be willing to lay it all down so that you can find true life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading David Brainerd's diary, this missionary from the 1800s or 1700s. And he gave a daily, you know, chronicle of his life with God, and some days he'd be like utterly forsaken, persevered in prayer, or something like that. And other days he would say, consolations from God, very sweet today. You know, and like he had no comfort. He was like in the snow trying to evangelize to Native American tribes and stuff. And he had no like physical comforts. And sometimes he would get comfort from God, but he called them consolations.
Okay.
It was like your consolation. But like his ultimate reward was God in eternity, right? And in his relationship with the Lord. But even some days he's like, I got nothing from God. But he's like, I'm still doing this. Yeah. So pretty inspirational. He died really young, but you know, okay. You have to, I mean, because this is what it's about. Like he really believed Jesus.
Right.
And how many of us really believe Jesus? That's a scary thought.
Right.
Well, I think discomfort also sharpens you.
Yes.
It hones you. It hones you so that you're able to handle things that, you know, under normal conditions, if you were just, like I said, just relaxed all the time and everything's comfortable, you'd never find that sharp edge of your life, the kind of life we're supposed to have. I don't believe you'd ever be the salt or the light in the earth.
Right.
Because those things are, they push out. They don't just sit passive, right? Or else then they're a problem. There's a lot there about that comfort. But the thing I think of also is when you look at the examples in the Bible, like Paul, it's like you just start reading through. You know, I was in the water for a few days. I was in overnight
with rods,
beaten with rods. Got 39 plus one several times. I mean, you know, he's. You know, that I couldn't say that was a comfortable life.
No.
And then he's going, like we read through, like, and then they went to, you know, and right. Now it's only, you know, a 6 month walk.
Exactly.
It's not like, it's a montage.
Yeah. and it's through, you know, harrowing experiences where you're near death probably most of the time, or you know, like he says, perilous times. There's people wanting to take your life or take your stuff. And there was like no comfort there.
Right.
And yet he's still going.
Yeah.
He's still going. And I think if we're going to be the kind of people that will rescue people, that will pull people, you know, like brands out of the fire, like the Bible tells us, then we have to be people that aren't just, you know, in love with comfort. Like right. That's the only way I can operate. See, everything has to be perfectly in place.
Yeah.
Then I can actually minister to somebody.
Good luck. Right.
Then exactly. I can give somebody, you know, the gospel. It's like, well, no, actually, you may be having the worst day of your life, and God will call on you.
Yeah.
You might be getting martyred for your faith.
Yeah.
God will call on you. Old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes.
They weren't very comfortable.
No.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're right. Paul, David, Joseph. I mean, you could just go down the whole list. And it's like, God isn't hiding this from us. No. You know what I mean? Like, where do we get these ideas that it's like this nice, easy, just I do what, you know, I got my nice life and Jesus is my buddy and we just float along. You know, it's like, well, it's not.
It is the training montage thing. I mean, I right. saw a reel where I forget who it was, but someone was talking about this, about how we see all these before and after transformations. Right. And then in the movies, we have the Rocky training montage.
Right.
And we're like, cool. Like, I just have to set my mind and then I'll get there. It'll be, right. It'll be so simple, but they don't show the grind of it. And they just don't show that.
Right. You the know? Day after yeah. day after yeah. day after day.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, yeah. It's just been a, an ongoing, sorry, my shoes are squeaking. It's an ongoing conversation in my own mind about comfort and then realizing, like, really, what are we here for? What are we here for? What are we looking for? What is our goal? What's our goal in life? Is it to be comfortable? Is it to be just like give enough where we're not uncomfortable, we're not inconvenienced, but we still feel good? Like we still feel good about ourselves? Is it, I don't know, like where's the line of discomfort that where's the threshold?
Well, I believe that the world has sold Christianity a bill of goods that says comfort is your goal.
Yeah.
And that's, so. And you have
name it and claim it.
What's that?
Name it and claim it.
Name it and claim it. It's where you're heading. It's the thing you want the most. And meanwhile, it's such a lie.
It is.
So you go living like that. And like I said, then when things come that will try you, that will stretch you, that will see what you're made out of, people can't handle it. Like you said, a simple little thing like, oh, I have to go someplace. It's like, oh no. Or wow, my hamburger didn't come in 3.2 seconds from McDonald's.
They forgot to put bacon on the double cheeseburger.
That Jesus is coming back because they forgot the bacon. It's funny, he's bringing bacon with him when he comes.
He did dispense the food laws, so could be.
Praise God.
Yeah. And then there's God who is the comforter. Yeah. You know, like it's not that he wants us to live without comfort. He wants us to live with true comfort.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean that he changes our circumstances. I mean, when he's talking about the comfort, he's talking about comfort in difficult things. You know, not let me remove everything so you can be comfortable. It's when you're in those, I'll be with you. I will be your comfort in the middle of those.
Yeah.
It's very different. His perspective, as usual, is very different than
most of us want us to, somebody to poof us out of our circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And God says, well, I'm going to just walk with you in and through it.
Right.
And sometimes I will deliver you out of the circumstance. And sometimes I won't, but I'll be with you no matter what.
Right.
And that's the difference. And so, and then like I said, there's the other side of comfort where we have to be entertained at all times.
Right.
Yes. That's a rough.
Divert me.
Yes, that's a rough. that's a rough level of Christianity, actually, which most of Christianity is totally embraced now. Maybe a lot in the United States, but when you go other places, it's not like that. Right. I mean, we've had opportunity to go to Africa and India and some of these other places, and those are not comfortable places at all.
Right.
And the people there are, it's interesting because the way they are comforted is right in the middle of things that we would just think are just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Just, unsustainable, which is like, this can't be, you can't live like this. And yet they're living that way and being comforted at the same time.
Yeah.
So they're actually like going into him, into his presence, pressing into his place and being comforted by him in the middle of horrible circumstances as well, from our, perspective, there isn't the supermarket. There isn't, none of the things that the comforts that we embrace, they're not there at all. Like they don't exist in some of those places.
Right.
Man.
I think that's what the Beatitudes get at, the dependent one who's hungry and thirsty and is mourning. And that's the person who's blessed because that's the person who's filled with God. That's the person that's hungry for the kingdom. That's the person that is seeking first God and needing God. And like you said, it dulls our hunger for God. That's why fasting is an important spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm. It's not because God hates comfort. I believe God loves a good meal. He instituted feasts. Like I believe he loves for us to have fun and go to Magic Mountain, ride the roller coasters. I believe he likes when
not fun for some of us.
I believe God enjoys us to have, I get to read a good book today and I get to be comforted. He's not against any of that. But what he's against is us to make that our God.
Right.
There was a God called Bacchus. that was the god of comfort, wine, feasting, party up. Like that was, that's a great, people still like that god a lot.
Yes.
You know, even though he doesn't, you know, have his old appearance to us, he appears to us in commercials and in other ways, right? Yeah. And so a lot of American consumerism is really devoted to idolizing comfort. And like, that's where I'm going to escape. That's where I'm going to be saved.
Yeah.
That's what's going to save me right now. Maybe God will save me someday, but what's going to save me right now is XYZ.
Yeah.
That's kind false of worship.
It can be very, will be very disappointing. You know, it's the whole like sin is pleasure for a season. Once the season's over, that God lets you down pretty heavily.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nothing there then. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, to sustain you the rest of the way.
And you've become like that idol.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've adapted to living like that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, and serving that idol.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, the whole deal is that, you know, the thing that really fools everybody is that you think it's serving you.
Yeah.
Right.
But in reality, you're serving it.
Of course.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it goes away.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then what? What are you left with?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think about Saul and David. You know, Saul was discomforted and he would call David in to soothe him, and he would be soothed for a time. But it never, like, Saul understood that God was comforting him through David, but he never turned to God.
Right.
You know, like he understood that something about David's life allowed him to bring comfort, but it never made him turn toward the source
of
that thing.
Let's just go there right now. So in Christianity, we go to the emotional satisfaction. Right. We go to, instead of deliverance, we go to emotional
Soothe the
savage, right? And yet what happens at the end of that is you still need deliverance.
Right.
And you've felt sort of emotional, you know, expression for a little while, but the problem's still there.
Right.
The issue's still there.
Right.
And Christianity is doing that to people. They are making them addicted to emotional responses.
Oh, boy.
And not spiritual.
Feeding their demons.
Yes. Yeah, and guess what? The enemy of your soul will totally go along with that. Oh, you want to cry a little and feel bad? Oh, yeah, you know, just feel bad a little while. And then when that time's over, guess what? He's still there doing his deal.
Right.
And that's the reality of what we're talking about here. When we talk about comfort, it comes on a whole bunch of levels. And we have to be discerners to understand, you know, different things. And so, you know, every week you're running up to the altar to cry. Mm. And then all the week long, you're running back to your other altars. Oh, yeah. I didn't say that.
It's right on. I mean, it's the spin cycle. It's the spin cycle of repentance, religious works, dead works, you know, rather than coming to the Lord, coming to the Comforter. I mean, it says in 2 Corinthians 1 that we bless the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction.
Right.
So that we may be able to comfort others.
Right.
And so, like, I think a good way of walking in real comfort is to take on the mantle of the Holy Spirit. You know, he's the one that's walking alongside us and comforting us so that we can be taking the initiative and we can be comforting others. We're not sitting back as a helpless victim hoping someone will comfort us. I mean, hopefully we've come to God and said, hey, I want you. I need you today. And then from there, we're seeing like, okay, where is somebody down? Where do I come alongside someone? Where do I get down and help somebody get up? That, I think, is going to bring fulfillment. Whereas just looking to these idols is going to, maybe it's going to bring soothing. Maybe it's going to bring, you know, 2 out of 10 level, you know, comfort. But actually living in what we're made to do, partnering with the Holy Spirit, I think is going to be giving us a sense of meaning and worth that you could never get from comfort. Like, comfort can give you pleasure and it can give you numbness and whatever. It can never give you a sense that you're worth anything, because you know it's worthless. You know scrolling your stuff is worthless. You know that substance, being addicted to it, is worthless, and it's making you less in the image of Christ. Like, you understand that. And so if we reject that, and we put our path towards partnering with God, imitating him, I think we're going to have a much fuller sense of meaning in our life. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the only life you can actually live is his life once you've come to him. That's the bottom line, because every other life is just a counterfeit. It's not the real thing.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, God expects us to operate as his sons and daughters in the midst of the worst situation you can possibly be facing in your life. He expects that. He's made us that, to be that, just like he did here on the earth, like, you know, for the joy that was set before. He's going for it right in the middle of what looked like pretty horrible situation.
Yeah.
It was a really horrible situation.
Right.
And yet he didn't turn from who he was, and he doesn't expect us to either. Mm. And that's the reality of that. So,
yeah, I think one other thing that's coming to my mind is that another beatitude: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Yes.
And so there actually is comfort available. I think, you know, somebody needs to hear that they go, well, so it's wrong for me to need comfort, or, you know, no. There is actually time that you have to grieve, like when you've gone to a new place, when you've lost the old way things used to be, when you have to grieve that. You have to mourn that. But you mourn before God. You bring it to God. And he says, I'm going to comfort you. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. And it's a promise. It's not something that's just like, hopefully someday I'll feel better. No, it's like when you actually are like the Book of Lamentations and you come to God, my whole city's been destroyed, everything, the whole temple's burnt. You forsook your city, your people, all your promises are gone, Lord, and you're pouring out your heart. Mm. At the end, he goes, hey, I call this to mind and I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies fail not. They are new every morning. Yeah. Great is your faithfulness. Yeah. And he's able to mourn and actually come to the place where God goes, it's all right. Sun's going to rise again. I'm with you. Weeping endured for the night. Now here comes joy, you know. And you might have to mourn for quite some time. But
right.
If you stick it out and you're honest before God, you're going to receive real comfort.
Right.
You're not going to have to just numb it up. So I think somebody should hear that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I really think it's the question of who do you run to? Mm. What's the source of your comfort? Mm. And if it's always a familiar place, I need familiar things and I need the things that I like to be comfortable, you'll always retreat back to them.
Yeah.
Where the gospel spirit calls us forward, and he's the comfort in the new places. He's what allows us to step into new places, into places that are unfamiliar, and still find comfort there. You don't need actually everything to be the same, because otherwise we'll never move into anything new.
No.
But that's what enables us to. So yeah, the question is, who do you run to for comfort? What do you run to?
And I like that, running to a place you're familiar with. And if that place is actually him, then that term you just used, which I absolutely love, the steadfast love of the Lord is there waiting for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Like he's waiting there.
That's right.
He is that. He can't be anything else. And he's there, arms open, ready to comfort you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
He's the true city of refuge.
Right? Yeah.
So,
well,
we bless you today. Maybe think about, ask the Lord, what are some things that I run to for comfort? What are some places that I'm looking to for comfort that ultimately are going to fail me? And where are maybe you're calling me into some new places and I need to be able to leave some things behind. So what is the true comfort that I need to find in my life? We bless you today. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.